Now, a recent study from a UW professor questions a long-held belief that allowed the public to allowing the public to hunt large carnivores or having the government sponsor culling of those carnivores can be a valuable part of species management.
The study looked at how wolf hunting in Wisconsin and Michigan over the last 20 years related to the animal's population numbers. Researchers found that even though officials argue hunting seasons lead to less poaching, that may not be true.
Adrian Trevis joins us now. He's one of the authors of this study. He's an associate professor of environmental studies at UW-Madison and founder of the Carnivore Coexistence Lab. Adrian, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Rob.
Well, tell us about this study. What were you trying to find out? What did you find out?
Well, I mean, we were contracted by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to answer a question that they had posed in court in 2006. They had argued in federal court that they needed to be able to give permits to the states to cull wolves in order to improve tolerance for wolves, in order to reduce poaching of wolves, in order to help conserve and recover the gray wolves of Michigan and Wisconsin. The judge rejected that argument based on things unrelated to our research. And 4 years later, the Fish and Wildlife Service asked us to examine that question scientifically. Does, in fact, culling wolves reduce poaching?
And that's kind of the state of the art. That's the assumption in a lot of conservation programs here in the U.S., in other countries, that allowing some measure of culling, maybe hunting or whatever form that takes, is going to reduce poaching and make people more tolerant of a wolf or other predator.
Exactly, Rob. I mean, the assumption is that poachers will refrain if there's legal recourse, if the government is handling the issue.
Well, let's talk about who the poachers are. I mean, when I think of poaching, I guess I think of somebody doing it recreationally almost, but we might include in that poaching category a farmer who's had depredations from wolves or fears that. Is that who we're talking about in that poaching category too?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's anybody who would illegally take wildlife. Mm-hmm. We're calling a poacher for simplicity. And when we're talking about government culling, we're talking about when a government agent has a permit to kill a protected species. And they usually did that with wolves after verified livestock losses or perceived threats to humans. Safety, although there haven't been any attacks on people by wild wolves in Wisconsin and Michigan in recorded history. There were occasional perceived threats that led to this culling of wolves.
So again, the idea, government culling makes people more tolerant, reduces the risk of poaching. So how in this study do you try to find out if that's true?
Okay, well, the first thing we did is we looked at the wolf population growth when there was culling and when there wasn't culling. And the unique thing about Wisconsin and Michigan is both states went through 12 periods, 6 periods with culling authority and 6 periods without culling authority. So we were able to track wolf population growth and the change in that growth rate over those 12 periods. When we discovered that wolf population growth had diminished by an average of 4% every time the state had authority to cull wolves, we then tried to look at the 3 possible reasons why a population growth rate would decline. And there are only 3 real reasons. Either wolves migrated out of the states of Wisconsin and Michigan, which actually doesn't make sense because what we found was an association with policy signals. That means communications from the government. And there's no known mechanism for wolves to migrate out of the state when the government announces something. The other option is a much more plausible alternative, and it's called density dependence. And that occurs in a lot of wildlife populations when the population reaches a certain abundance or certain density, and things like birth rate are reduced. We eliminated that possibility by analyzing the breeding success of wolf packs in Wisconsin over the time period in question, which was 1995 to 2012. And we actually found that packs bred more successfully over time. So if anything, we're underestimating the slowdown in population growth. And that left our third possibility, that a new source of mortality had emerged. And this is what a lot of people aren't understanding from the study, even academics who criticized us. We were just looking for a new source of mortality that could respond to a policy signal that could destroy radio collars, because some of the wolves that disappeared had radio collars that just stopped transmitting, and a source of mortality that's difficult to detect. And that occurs with poaching because people hide the evidence, you know, shoot, shovel, and shut up. So basically, we inferred that poaching was responsible because it's the only thing that fits all of those characteristics.
Well, maybe a dumb question, but I mean, if there's culling going on, is it culling to an extent, a government-led shooting of the wolves, that it would bring down those populations or lower that population growth to the extent that you found?
That's an excellent question, Rob, and that was the first thing we looked at. Well, I mean, was the state actually culling enough wolves, right, to slow down the population growth? And it turns out, no, they weren't killing enough. They typically kill a small number of wolves in those situations I described previously. And so what we found was when you take into account how many wolves they're removing, it doesn't explain the rather dramatic slowdown in population growth that we detected. Think of it as about a quarter of the population growth in the two states was eliminated every time there was culling authority. And then keep in mind that they don't always cull wolves when they have that authority. The two events are decoupled from each other in many ways.
Talking to Adrian Trevis from UW-Madison about his new study on the impact of culling of wolves on the population of those predators. So then what you're saying is when culling is on, when the government is shooting some wolves, what, that sends a signal to potential poachers?
Exactly. It seems to be sending a signal that either wolves have less value or that anti-poaching rules won't be enforced. And we're thinking that these poachers, whom we don't know who they are, but we're thinking that these poachers are saying to themselves, well, if the government's doing it, I can do it, and I can probably do it better. So the poachers are actually killing more wolves in their localities than anything close to what the government was culling. And the reasons for that are unclear because we don't have any research on poachers. But what the take-home message is pretty clear for the government: stop culling until you understand this pattern and process, because it's way out of proportion to the problem that they purport to fix by culling wolves.
You mentioned that poaching is a crime that's hard to detect. It's a law that can be hard to enforce. Do we have numbers, though? Are there significant enough numbers in either state or in other countries that we can try to use that data?
Yeah, so stay posted or have me on the show again later this year when our paper on this subject comes out. But we can also point to studies in other places, from Alaska to Sweden, even in the Yellowstone area. We're starting to get indications that poaching is the most severe form of mortality for large carnivores like wolves and grizzly bears, and that the majority of this poaching is never reported. It's what we call cryptic poaching. So one study from Sweden in particular I'll cite, by Olof Lyberg and his colleagues, showed that over just about 51% of all mortality was poaching, and two-thirds of that was this cryptic or hidden poaching that was never reported.
Now, we've been talking about government-led culling. We've been talking about illegal poaching. There's a third method here: government-issued hunting licenses. Is there a potential that that could be an outlet? Maybe the people who would be poaching are instead getting that license, participating in a government-led program, and then the numbers would work out better.
That's precisely right, Rob. You hit the nail on the head. It's possible that public hunting and trapping are different. We looked at the evidence back in 2009. We didn't find any evidence. So what I want to encourage the government to do is to study these questions before declaring large-scale policy changes, because we really don't know what the consequences of public hunting and trapping are for poaching of these large carnivores. And they're all on the brink of recovery. And some of them are, again, at risk of local extinction. So we need to be careful. And we're encouraging the government to take care whenever it's killing, because blood doesn't seem to buy goodwill.
You mentioned being on the brink of recovery. Some people have been saying we need to allow the hunt. It's time to allow a hunt or allow culling because they are recovered. They're in numbers large enough to sustain themselves. We've talked to you about this, I think, or one of your colleagues in the past who said, no, we're not there yet.
Right. I don't feel we're there yet. We wrote a letter to Congress. 70 scientists and scholars joined me in that letter, arguing that not only have wolves in the Great Lakes region not reached the legal definition of recovery, biologically the evidence is not there. The evidence about human attitudes to wolves does not line up with the decision to delist. And generally what the federal government has argued is, trust us, trust the states, Wolves can be managed wisely off of the endangered species list. Well, this most recent paper was an examination of this whole idea of trusting the government that culling would reduce poaching. We're just not finding the evidence, so we're a lot more skeptical about these government claims.
So you're making the case, don't cull, don't have a wolf hunt at this point, it sounds like. Before I go on, is that right?
Yeah, until we understand much more.
Okay, and then what? What do we need to look at to understand more before we set a new policy?
Well, listen, I think we need a transparent scientific accounting for wildlife because they're public trust assets. The public trust doctrine is over 200 years old. It's supported by the U.S. Constitution, by the state constitution. It's supported by U.S. Supreme Court decisions. And it has a very inspirational message. The public trust doctrine says the government is accountable to us, to current and future generations, for preserving and regulating the use of these wildlife that are assets. And I think about future generations and the message we're sending to them about the legacy that we want to pass on. And I think we want a healthy, vibrant nature to pass on to our children and to their children. And at the moment, we have a really confusing mix of policies, no clear scientific accounting, and the government is not acting as a prudent trustee, in my opinion.
We've heard arguments against the public trust doctrine lately in terms of water and high-capacity wells. The state legislature saying the way we're doing it now, we're allowing unelected bureaucrats to make decisions that affect people. They want to see more of the power in the hands of the legislature to do things like set rules and Governor Walker's administration. Are you worried about an erosion of the public trust doctrine, whether we're talking about water or wolves?
There are a lot of challenges to the public trust right now. All three branches of government are needed to support and enforce and recognize the public trust doctrine. So putting it all in the hands of the legislature would centralize a little too much power. I want all three branches of government active in an ethical and prudent way, in the way that our founding fathers envisioned it, checks and balances. And in this case, the judiciary plays an incredibly powerful and important role in defending our Constitution and our laws. And sometimes the legislature needs to be checked, and that's the role of the judiciary.
Oh, getting back to wolves and your study in particular, you've put this study out, you've made this case. Do you get a feeling from the response you've seen that the people who are making these decisions are paying attention?
Well, we're getting an extremely positive response from the public. There's, of course, criticism and some people who are really married to these ideas that have very little evidence, like blood buys goodwill. They're responding negatively, but we expected that. And so far, the nationwide media and the public have responded positively, so we're optimistic.
Adrian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rob. It's been a pleasure.
That was UW Professor Adrian Trevis talking about his study on wolf culling and poaching in Wisconsin and Michigan.